You know how applying for a mortgage usually feels like feeding your entire life into a black box? Like you shove your pay stubs, your bank statements, and your credit score into a slot. The gears grind away in secret, and eventually a yes or no just spits out. Well, today we are prying that box open.
Yeah, we really are. We've been digging through a massive stack of legal analyses, constitutional frameworks, and financial regulations for this deep dive. Specifically, we are looking at South Africa's Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosure Act 63 of 2000.
Right. And the mission for you listening today is to see how this specific piece of legislation attempts to use mandatory financial transparency to combat historical discrimination in the housing market.
Because, I mean, if you look at the preamble of this act, it directly cites the South African Constitution. It brings up the rights to equality, access to adequate housing, and access to information. But crucially, it acknowledges a really harsh reality, which is a history of unfair discrimination by financial institutions when granting home loans based on race, gender, and other grounds.
Okay, but wait. I mean, it is noble to declare a right to housing, sure. Practically enforcing fairness seems like a massive overstep. If a government forces a bank's hand, couldn't they push them into making bad business decisions? Like, how do you mandate fairness without forcing unsound lending practices just to hit a quota?
Well, that is the big question, right? But the legislation explicitly states its intention is not to promote unsound lending. It actually doesn't dictate who the bank must give a loan to.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, not at all. Instead, it forces strict data disclosure to expose how those decisions are being made. So think of it as a transparency toolkit.
I see. So it's almost like a nutritional label for bank fairness. You look at the annual financial statements and see the total number and exact amount in rand of home loans received, approved, disbursed, and declined. But wait, aggregate numbers can easily hide a lot of sins, right? I mean, a bank could approve 10,000 loans on paper, but if they're all concentrated in one wealthy demographic, the raw number looks great while the discrimination just continues.
Exactly, which is why it's a nutritional label that triggers a public audit if the ingredients are toxic. Banks have to break this data down by prescribed geographic areas and categories of borrowers. And here's the kicker. They are legally required to provide the actual reasons for rejections.
Wait, how does the government enforce honesty there? A bank could easily just chalk up every single rejection to insufficient income or poor credit just to, cover their tracks.
Yeah, they could try. But that is where the auditors come in. The act mandates that independent auditors must specifically verify the accuracy of these disclosures.
This, they actually check the homework.
They do. They have to look at the rejected application, look at the bank's stated reason, and confirm that the underlying financial math actually matches the excuse given to the government.
Okay, but even with verified data, raw numbers sitting in a report don't change deeply ingrained lending habits. Like, a massive financial institution isn't going to suddenly change its entire culture just because a spreadsheet exists somewhere.
Right. Which brings us to the enforcement mechanism, the Office of Disclosure. This is a team of up to 10 experts in banking, housing finance, and civil rights. They don't just collect data,
Right.
they analyze it, they investigate public complaints, and they publicly rate these financial institutions on how well they are serving the housing credit needs of their communities.
Okay, but I am looking at the penalties for non-compliance right here. It lists a criminal penalty and a fine of up to R100,000. I mean, for a multi-billion rand financial institution, R100,000 is parking ticket money. It is just the cost of doing business.
Financially, yeah, you are right. But the real penalty isn't financial. This act shifts the burden of enforcement from the government's limited resources to the free market and civil society by basically weaponizing public relations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if a bank is officially exposed by the Office of Disclosure as having discriminatory lending patterns, say they are systematically denying loans in specific geographic areas, the reputational cost is catastrophic.
Right, because it alerts statutory regulatory bodies and hands raw ammunition to civil rights groups.
Exactly. The threat of public exposure is a much heavier stick than any fine.
So if you are listening to this and looking to buy a house, what does this actually change for you? It means the playing field is being leveled by a triad of data collection, public ratings, and independent oversight.
Yeah, it forces accountability into a space that historically operated almost entirely in the shadows.
And, leaves us with something much larger to think about. If banks are forced to publicly disclose the exact reasons they decline loans in specific geographic areas, that raw data might expose more than just bad banking practices.
That is a really good point.
Right. If an entire community is rejected for loans due to low income or unstable employment, That transparency might expose broader systemic inequalities in our society, like unequal access to education or jobs. When you finally force that black box of mortgage approvals wide open, the broken machinery you see inside might not just be the banks, it might be a reflection of our entire society.